This devotional reading is from John Piper's 1997 book, A Godward Life. The chapter is entitled, The Present Power of Heaven and Hell. Jesus had a lively, daily awareness of heaven and hell. These awesome realities were always relevant for the way he lived and taught. He was radically reasonable about these things. If we will live forever in bliss or torment, then securing the one and escaping the other is more important than most of what we think about. So he motivated loving actions with the hope of God's fellowship in heaven, and he motivated radical purity with the fear of separation and torment in hell. For Jesus, a profound desire for heaven and a potent fear of hell were practical, daily parts of living a glad and holy life. For example, it was a motivation for sacrificial generosity. Luke 14:13, but when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. It also provides a motivation for loving your enemies. Luke 6:35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. It's a motivation for simplicity and charity. Luke 12:33, he said, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. And it's a motivation for evangelism and missions. Luke 16:9, he said, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. It was a motivation for enduring persecution with joy. Matthew 5:11, he said, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It's also a motivation for avoiding lust. Matthew 5:28 says, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. It's a motivation also not to fear death in the cause of the gospel. In Luke 12:4, he said, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. It's a motivation to bear good fruit, too. Luke 3:9, Jesus said, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It's a motivation to be doers and not just hearers of Jesus. In Luke 6:49, he said, but the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. And it's a motivation to give our lives away for the gospel. In Luke 9:24-25, Jesus said, for whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? I have never understood the cynical attitude that treats heaven as an irrelevant pie in the sky by and by, nor the apparently pious claim that the fear of hell is unworthy as Christian motivation. It seems to me that both of these misguided claims come from not really believing in the unspeakable glory and horror of these two destinies. We are playing games if we say we long for heaven more than this earth and then live like earthbound people. 1 John 3:3 says, everyone who has this hope fixed on Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. You can't put your hope and all that God promises to be for us in Christ and live like everyone else who depends on money and security and prestige for contentment. And you can't truly ponder the real possibility of endless centuries of torment and not be driven to the Calvary road that leads to life. May God give us, in perfect proportion, the fruitful balance of loving heaven and fearing hell.